Hello, this is Ken Smith welcoming you to our Bringing a Message radio programme, brought to you by the By All Means Gospel Trust in Solihull, England. Today's message is entitled Jesus the Good Shepherd and is a picture given to us in John's Gospel chapter 10. You couldn't find a more helpful and comforting subject than this. Jesus is ready to be your Saviour and Shepherd if you will make him your Lord and Master. Maurice Payne is the speaker. Hilary reads the scriptures and makes the closing announcement. Music is by Peter Jackson and singers. We are always pleased to hear from our listeners, so why not write or email us today? Stay tuned for today's message.
In John chapter 10, we get a picture of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. What a blessing this has been to men and women who've come to the Saviour all down the years. We need a guide, a counsellor, a friend. We need a heavenly friend to look after us as we journey through life, that our life may be glorifying to God and be a blessing to our fellow men. And Jesus is the Good Shepherd. How he guides and leads us from pitfalls and dangers. How he safely takes us through difficulty and distress. How he lifts us in disappointment. How he counsels us and gives us guidance, tells us the way to go, tells us when we go the wrong way. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. This is one of the best known and loved pictures of Jesus found in the Gospels. Of course, it's been enhanced by David's 23rd Psalm, where the picture of Jesus shepherding and caring for the sheep has brought comfort to readers throughout the years. What many who accept the allegory do not understand, however, is the responsibility that rests upon those who make the Lord their shepherd. It is by no means a one-way receiving and enjoying relationship, Jesus the Good Shepherd. It's likely that many of Jesus' hearers in this 10th chapter of John's Gospel were the same as those who witnessed the healing of the blind man recorded in the 9th chapter. And of course, later in this 10th chapter, some of the crowd listening to Jesus mentioned the miracle when he opened the eyes of the blind man. And those present may have belonged to the same crowd. In the first 6 verses of this chapter, we see Jesus using an allegory about the shepherd and his sheep. His hearers didn't really understand what he was telling them. What he said was clear enough. It was the meaning and application of his words that they could not understand. The description he gave was of the thief and robber entering the sheepfold by climbing the wall, whereas the shepherd enters by the gate. The night watchman recognizes the shepherd when he comes in the morning and opens the gate to him. The sheep recognize him too and listen to his voice as he calls each of them by name. The shepherd brings them out of the fold and leads them. He's able to do this because they know his voice and will not follow the voice of a stranger. We are not told who his hearers were on this occasion, and so must presume it was a mixture of disciples, scribes, Pharisees, and ordinary Jews listening to him. Because they didn't understand him, Jesus repeated what he had already said with further amplification. Now the content of verses 7 to 28 may be summarized under three headings. First, Jesus is the gate for the sheep.
Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Verse 7.
And then, secondly, Jesus the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 11.
And thirdly, Jesus is the good shepherd who knows his sheep and is known by them.
I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Verse 14.
In relation to his sheep, Jesus added that he had other sheep that were not in the same pen or fold, that is, other than the Jews to whom he was speaking. He said he was to make them all one flock with one shepherd. In his allegory, Jesus describes himself as both the door of the sheepfold and the shepherd of the sheep. This double metaphor shouldn't surprise us, for Jesus is so great that no single comparison could do justice to the place he holds in relation to his children. Another mixed metaphor that illustrates the relationship of Jesus to his church is found in the book of Revelation. In chapter 21, one of the seven angels tells John, "Come, I will show you the bride." Then in the next verse, we read that the angel carried John away in spirit and showed him the holy city. So, the Lamb, as described in the book of Revelation, is both a bride and a city. In the picture of the shepherd that Jesus uses, there can be little doubt that the sheep are God's children. In the opening verses especially, Jesus' words were directed to the Jews who were listening to him. They were the fold to which he alluded, because later he speaks of other sheep, not of this fold. In telling us that he's the gate of the sheep, Jesus says that many seek to enter the sheepfold in some other way. And it's the same today. Many would seek to find God in the way of their choosing. They want to behave as they want to behave, rather than what the Bible says and teaches. We're not told the identity of the watchman, other than he's put there to prevent wrongful access. In this way, he protects the sheep. This could be a picture of the Holy Spirit's ministry. The Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of the believers, guiding and steering and keeping them in all truth. Thieves and robbers must represent deceivers, false teachers and prophets, demon-inspired to rob and destroy the Church of Christ. It's important to note that in his word picture, Jesus says that the sheep know the voice of their shepherd, but will not follow the voice of the stranger. Listen to these words.
I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. John 10, verses 1 to 3.
How important it is for the disciples of Jesus to know the Master. It is as we walk with him and commune with him that we come to know him and can be assured that we will never mistake his voice for another's. This sheep and shepherd relationship must relate to more than the adoption of a creed or style of worship, lively and sincere though this might be. By telling us that he's the gate of the sheep, Jesus makes it clear that he's the only way to salvation. He said, all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. He was doubtless referring to the many false prophets in the Old Testament times. And those who, claiming to be the Messiah, had led the unwary astray. It is through Christ and Christ alone that a person can be saved. Only he could pay the price of our redemption. Only by offering himself upon the cross could God's demands for the punishment of our sin be met. The great enemy of souls, the devil himself, has driven men to be false messengers claiming to be saviours. Like the thief who climbs the fence to get into the sheepfold, these who profess to be saviours of men drag them down into sin and perdition. Jesus comes to bring us life. The sheep rejoice to hear his voice and are comforted and blessed by his nearness to them. When Jesus tells us he come that we might have life, Jesus added, and have it to the full. Life in Jesus can be portrayed in so many ways. It is neither miserable nor harmful. Life experienced by all who come to Jesus is purposeful. Even in the midst of sorrow and distress, those who are his sheep can know an underlying sense of deep peace. One last comment on Jesus' words concerning himself as the gate or door relates to his further claim that those who are saved can go in and out and find pasture. This is a picture of the sheep leaving the sheep pen by day to graze safely outside and return to the safety of the fold by night. When the Lord is our shepherd, he leads us in green pastures. Our path is a weary and sad one sometimes, but it's transformed to a purposeful engagement by being in his service each day and as we follow his leading. Now at verse 11, Jesus changes the metaphor. He is no longer the gate, but the good shepherd, whose status contrasts with that of the hired hand. Jesus says the hired hand doesn't own the sheep. The shepherd does. Jesus is Lord and rightful owner. First by creation, and then by redemption. He owns those who are his sheep. Furthermore, as we've seen, he lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand cares first and foremost for his own life. The good shepherd cares for his sheep. Normally, when the shepherd dies, the flock is scattered and dies too. Not so with the good shepherd. He died so that the sheep might have life. The good shepherd will not abandon the sheep. No wolf will frighten him away. Here again, he differs from the hired hand. In the eyes of the good shepherd, care of the sheep is paramount. The other blessed distinction between good shepherd and hired hand is that the good shepherd cannot be held by death. The price of man's redemption is his life. But in laying down that life, Jesus claims to have power to take it again. Jesus repeats the fact that he's the good shepherd and goes on to tell us that he knows his sheep. He doesn't provide a general and impersonal protection, but an individual care. You could almost say it's specially made for you. Indeed, relationship between shepherd and sheep is as important and as real as that between the Father and the Son. This is a truth that every one of Christ's lambs should know and cherish. Now we see that the opposition to Christ's teaching was not long in coming. First, we are told that his hearer didn't understand what he was saying. And then in verse 19 we read that the Jews were divided on what he was saying. Some said he was demon-possessed and raving mad, while others contended that his words were not those of a man possessed by a demon. Then later in this chapter we read that the Jews picked up stones to stone him, and that they accused him of blasphemy. Finally, they tried to seize him, but he escaped from their grasp. We may wonder what his hearers made of Jesus' words, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen," that's verse 16. We know that the Jews were very jealous of their pedigree and calling in Abraham. The very suggestion that Gentiles could be saved was anathema to them, though their Old Testament scriptures pointed to this happening. Peter gives us a good example of this prejudice when he told the Lord he'd never eaten anything unclean, when told to rise and eat the unclean animals seen in his vision as the Lord was preparing him to preach in Cornelius' household. Listen to a little of that story.
At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to all those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m. he had a vision. About noon the following day, as they were approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Acts 10:1-3 and verses 9-15.
What an incident that was for Peter. That made him change his mind, didn't it? And the way the Holy Spirit was poured out upon that Gentile household was wonderful. We can build walls around our own groups today, you know, and the more convinced we are of the truths dear to us, the greater the walls we set up. We need to ask, who or what are the other sheep? And to recognise that in Christ there's one fold. Not a number of groups, but Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Jesus is likened to a shepherd because his followers can be likened to sheep. He's the Good Shepherd because all he is and does for those sheep is good. Now we do well to note the characteristics of his sheep. Any who profess to be his sheep, yet who do not bear these characteristics, are false. The first thing is, the sheep listen to Jesus' voice.
My sheep listen to my voice.
Jesus speaks and they hear and listen and pay attention. And the second thing is, the sheep are known by Jesus.
And I know them.
This is a personal relationship, and his words are special. And then the sheep follow the shepherd.
And they follow me.
The goodness of the shepherd is known to those who follow. That they follow is evidence he's their good shepherd. Now listen to those three together.
My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me.
And one more thing, they receive eternal life.
I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand.
The Good Shepherd gives more than forgiveness and his presence to bless and guide. He gives eternal life. John was to write later in his letter,
I write these things to you who believe, so that you may know you have eternal life. 1 John 5 verse 13.
Those who trust Jesus in this mortal life have the promise of Jesus and the assurance or guarantee of the Holy Spirit that they have eternal life. Again, as John says,
we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers.
Loving one's brother is an outward sign of an inward experience. And then one more thing, the sheep will never perish.
They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand.
Isn't that lovely? Jesus repeats this assurance to us and says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. Put your life in the hands of the Lord and it's safe. There's safety in trusting Jesus, safety in receiving his salvation and the blessing of his presence and peace. No wonder the picture of Jesus as the Good Shepherd is appealing to all. That God is love and will allow harm to come to no one is a popularly held belief. Yet inseparable from the Good Shepherd are his sheep. Not everyone is in his fold. Indeed, Jesus said, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be going in that way. And narrow is the way that leads to life. Jesus calls to all, yet not all hear, and even fewer respond. And when it says other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, points to many outside. It was some of these others that raised their voices and their stones in opposition against him. Yet those who oppose should know that God's love in Christ extends to them. Whoever will repent and turn to Christ will find him a good shepherd, faithful to his promise. Isn't it wonderful that those who've done despite to the God of grace are able to turn and repent and receive his forgiveness and reinstatement and receive his blessing as their shepherd? The Good Shepherd and his sheep enjoy a special relationship, the primary evidence of which is positive obedience to his voice, together with a determined refusal to obey the many evil ones that attack the flock. I am the Good Shepherd. Words that have brought peace and assurance to many souls in times of apparent danger or loss all down the years. Words that can bring comfort and peace to you if you will reach out and trust Jesus in a new and living way today. True peace cannot be experienced in reality until and unless you hear his voice, and then that you respond and obey. The challenge to all who claim that the Lord is their shepherd is to follow him. Hearing his voice may describe a number of channels of communication, through reading and meditation upon his word, through the teaching and ministry of others, by a still small voice and in a conviction we may hear his voice. In order to hear his voice, we need to get away from the noise and busyness of life. The sheep of his pasture feed best when away from the evil influence of the enemy of the sheep. We all need to be in the world, and we all need to take time to spend feeding upon the rich grass of his word, apart from the world, wherever we can. Why not today draw closer to Jesus? Renew your vows to him. Express your love and devotion to him. Come close to his side. Stay beside him. Listen for his voice. Obey and follow. So when we hear his voice, we need to ask, are we following? Am I obeying? Because only then can we know the goodness that comes from communion with Jesus, the Good Shepherd.
The Bringing a Message program you have just heard is produced by the By All Means Gospel Trust, based in the United Kingdom. We are always pleased to hear from our listeners, and there are several ways you can contact us. You can write to us at BAM Gospel Trust, P.O. Box 986, Bourne, B-O-U-R-N, Cambridge, CB23 2YX. You can email us info@bringingamessage.org, or you can use the response form on our website's contact page. To hear this program again or to find out more about the Trust's work and publications, go to our website www.bringingamessage.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. One of our publications is called Break and Meditate. This contains short comments on a verse from the Bible, one for each day. This is available free either as a booklet mailed every 2 months or as a file emailed monthly. The reading for the day is also available on the Read page of our website. BAM also produce Bible study books and booklets. One booklet is produced every 2 months, and several earlier series are available from our website, where you will also find details of all available publications. The work of BAM is supported by donations. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, why not use the secure CAF donate form on our website's support page? And now listen to Peter Jackson and Singers as they sing, "Every day when you pray, say Father."
Thank you for joining us today. Listen at the same time next week. Until then, this is Ken Smith saying goodbye, and may God richly bless you.